watching in slow motion as you turn to me and say, my love, take my breath away. I saw you, and time you slipped away. And when the mirror crashed, I called you and turned to hear you say, if only for today, I'm not afraid. A love in flames, and turning and returning to some secret place inside, watching in slow motion as you turn to me and say, my love, take my breath away, and take my breath away.
welcome to 433 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is a program dedicated to new music, and indeed we have a lot of new music to feature today on the program. Tonight we also have a very special guest. He's a renowned composer and the artistic director of Redshift Music. And we'll be talking about ChamberCon, a kind of multiple ensembles marathon concert that you will be able to attend on November 17th at the Orpheum Annex. ChamberCon is being presented by Redshift Music and Vancouver New Music, and it will feature multiple ensembles and many premieres as well by different composers. The ensembles featured on ChamberCon will be the Ethos Collective, Corday, Novo Ensemble, Duo Verdejo, Negative Z, and Redshift Tutti, which is going to be a collaboration of all these ensembles playing several pieces together. The composers featured in the program will be John Burke, Justin Christensen, Wolf Edwards, Ava Grayson, John Korsrud, Hugh Fraser, Colin McDonald, Giorgio Magnanensi, Rita Ueda, Tim Brady, Owen Underhill, Ethan Wickman, John Cage, Rudolf Kamaras, Barbara Pentland, and an improv piece by the Ethos Collective. So without further ado, let me introduce Jordan Nobles, who's a very accomplished composer. In 2009, he was named Emerging Artist in Music from the City of Vancouver's Mayor's Artists Awards. He's in the Canadian League of Composers. He's the associate of the Canadian Music Centre. And Jordan, to me, embodies the kind of philosophy of participatory performance of music. So welcome, Jordan.
Glad to be here.
Where are the tickets available, Jordan?
You can get them at brownpapertickets.com, which is kind of a cool, cheap place to buy tickets online, and or just at the door.
Nice. So we're sitting with Jordan Nobles in front of your favorite coffee shop.
My favorite yes, it's my favorite coffee shop. It's also the only coffee shop in the area, but, you know, but it is my favorite.
We're surrounded by trees shedding their beautiful leaves, and the fall colors are everywhere. And, of course, Deep Cove is quite unparalleled with its natural beauty. You might hear people around us. This is just the natural environment of our recording.
Of our coffee shop.
Of our coffee shop setting. So, Jordan, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about what we should anticipate for ChamberCon.
Well, ChamberCon is a collection of all these small, some of them young, some of them a little older, ensembles from the Vancouver area. We've seemed to have a growth of small ensembles popping up here and there, new groups showing up all the time. And I wanted to put them together and sort of share our audiences and share our music making and do a collective concert. So ChamberCon has small sets by each of these new ensembles. Like, just like instead of a big full show of them, it's like a 20-minute or 30-minute set, but multiple sets, so there's a whole bunch of different sets.
Can you name a few ensembles that will appear on the program?
The first one will be Duo Verdejo. Adrian Verdejo came from Victoria and moved here a couple years ago and took us by storm. He's an amazing guitar player, so he'll be playing with Marcus Takezawa on viola, and they've got a number of works that they will be performing. The next one is Corday. The harpist Albertina Chan plays with violinist Yana Saylor around town in a group called Corday. And they've been performing some pretty amazing concerts around here, and we're glad to have them involved in the ChamberCon event. Now, the Ethos Collective is a group that's been around for almost 3 years. They're old. they have a unique sort of mandate. They do improv as well as classically notated works. And often, and in this event as well, they will be performing a classical piece, a new modern contemporary piece, and then improvising a transition from that piece into the next piece. So they'll be premiering a couple of works and also playing a number of works from Vancouver New Music's history because Vancouver Music is now 40 years old. This is their 40th year, and there's a lot of retrospective looks back at what they've done over the years. So Ethos will be doing a special set where they premiere a couple of new works, play a number of Vancouver New Music pieces that Vancouver New Music premiered in the past, as well as improvising between each piece in their unique way. Another group is the Novo Ensemble, which is a flute and cello duo around town. They're wonderful, and they're playing, I think they're premiering a new piece by Colin McDonald. And as well, we have the Redshift Ensemble, which is called Negative Zed. That is the in-house ensemble of Redshift Music. There's another Redshift Ensemble somewhere in the States, so we don't call ours the Redshift Ensemble. We call it Negative Zed. And they'll just be members of Negative Zed. It won't be the whole group, but they'll be performing alongside these other groups in a big 2T experiment that we're doing. All of these ensembles are doing their own sets, but after that, they're all going to get on stage together and perform a couple of new works in a crazy spatial Redshift kind of way. We'll see how well that goes. We're still putting that together, but it's going to be a blast.
There is several pieces where you're going to bring all of these ensembles together. One of these pieces will be by John Corseret. Am I right?
Yes. John Corseret and Hugh Fraser will be collaborating on a work which will be heard for the first time at ChamberCon. So we can't play that piece for you because it won't be heard until just then. But here's a piece of John Corseret's from his CD, Cruel Yet Fair.
It is an incredibly ambitious program that you put together. Just allow me to fill in the gaps. Maybe this program will feature John Burke, Justin Christensen, Wolf Edwards, Ava Grayson, Joan Corserad, Hugh Fraser, Colin McDonald, Giorgio Magnanensi. Will he be premiering one of his works?
He will be doing a very big work, actually. He'll be doing a panorama, a Vancouver New Music panorama piece, which Vancouver New Music commissioned him to write. And it is a part of Vancouver New Music's contribution to this event. Let me explain why we're collaborating with Vancouver New Music. They are on their 40th anniversary, so this is like the new ensembles and the oldest ensemble in town. And they were doing a big concert where they were bringing people from all over in different ensembles together, and they were doing it on the day before. So I called them up and say, hey, we're doing the exact same thing on Sunday that you're doing on Saturday. Why don't we collaborate and do it all together? And then you can use our players and we can use your players. And so that's how that collaboration came about. So we're all working together on Sunday, and instead of two concerts, we've turned it into one big, massive concert, which is cheap and fun and a celebration of the new and the old. So Giorgio Magnanensi's contribution is commissioned from Vancouver New Music. They are giving him samples of all the pieces that Vancouver New Music has premiered over the last 40 years and bringing in the Vancouver Electronic Ensemble, and all the groups make a big, massive finale for the event.
Should we give our listeners a little bit of a taste? This is going to be music that's not necessarily going to premiere in the program, but it will be a sample from
one of the ensembles.
One of the ensembles that's going to be featured on the program. So what would you like to play on air?
Let's listen to the first piece by Duo Verdejo.
This piece is going to be Encounters for Viola and Guitar, the third movement, called Quest.
The composer is
Aris Karastatis.
Thank you.
Another ensemble that's going to be featured on this program is the Ethos Collective. They will be playing primarily the Vancouver New Music repertoire until the moment you describe, which is going to be the Tutti, where almost all of the performers are going to be joined on stage. The Ethos Collective is flutist Samantha Fu, cellist Stefan Hintersteininger, violinist Catherine Amico Lee, pianist Chris Morano, and percussionists Katie Reif and Timothy Van Cleve. The Ethos Collective was formed in 2011, and they have a really strong emphasis on improvisation. Now, Jordan, to improvise is to compose on the fly. How important is this technique in putting this program together? I mean, will there be certain collectives or ensembles that will use this technique?
Yes. First off, the Ethos Collective loves improvising. I love these guys. That's half of their mandate. They perform contemporary classical music works, but they also improvise, which is kind of unique in this field. What they're going to do in ChamberCon is perform a piece and improvise a transition from that piece to another classical music piece that's already written. Also, the big tutti, the redshift tutti, when all the ensembles are performing together, all three pieces that they're going to premiere will have improvisatory elements. Meaning, when John Corsewood and Hugh Fraser take the stage, they're going to do conduction, semi-conducted, semi-improvised work. So it'll be a piece that doesn't exist, and it'll appear and it'll manifest right there. It's like a one-time free improv thing. Rita Ueda's piece involves raindrops. So at one point, all the musicians will be simulating raindrops with their instruments. There's no notated section. It's an improv section, and it works really well.
Should we play something by the Ethos Collective?
Yes. In fact, since we're talking about improv, this first piece is an improv that they did live in one of their concerts.
And we will be back shortly. Just a reminder, you're listening to 433, a program dedicated to new music, and we are broadcasting from Deep Cove. This is a pre-recorded show with a very special guest, Jordan Nobles, on the program. Thank you. We're seated in Deep Cove in North Vancouver with Jordan Nobles, a renowned Canadian, Vancouver-based composer and the artistic director of Redshift Music. We are also talking about ChamberCon, which is going to be a multiple ensemble marathon concert in co-production with Redshift Music and Vancouver New Music happening on November 17th at the Orpheum Annex. And some of the works presented in ChamberCon will be performed with musicians from other ensembles. For example, one of your works, LaGrange Point. So this will be performed by Redshift Tutti.
Yeah, Redshift Tutti is just all of the ensembles together. Tutti means together, or everyone. And so what we're going to do, what Redshift does more than I think other groups, is that we do big, crazy, spatial concerts where musicians surround the audience on different floors and really take over the space and have the music projected toward the audience from like every angle. And that's I wrote a piece called LaGrange Point for the Turning Point Ensemble last year. And after the premiere, I kept writing it. It was an enjoyable piece for me, and I just kept writing it, even though it had already premiered and had already been finished. I just added more and more parts to it. And then this opportunity came up to have it presented in the Orpheum Annex, which is a wonderful venue. So there's balconies all over the place in the Orpheum Annex, above the audience, around the audience, and of course the stage. And so we're going to have all the musicians from all of the different ensembles spread everywhere as much as we can. And this is one of the pieces that we will be premiering or performing. It's not a premiere because the piece has already been premiered, but its new version is now.
Now, Redshift Music has produced concerts that have been performed at the Bluddle Conservatory, surrounded by exotic fauna, at the Vancouver Public Library, even at the Blusson Spinal Cord Center, which is where I first met you, I think.
Yes.
And it has a kind of spiraling ramp from the first to the fourth floors where audience members were invited to walk around the space of the performers who were scattered along this kind of winding spiral. Jordan, is this going to be the first concert presented, at least in part by Redshift Music, where audience members will not be able to walk around the space of the performance?
Well, actually, we do get, because it's such a long concert, we will have big tables of food and drink, and you're welcome to get up and walk over to the tables or walk into the lobby at any time. But generally, no. We've actually done a lot of sit-down concerts where it's the normal proscenium seating where the audience is on the stage and the musicians, or the musicians on stage and the audience is in the chairs. We're known for the big, crazy, do a concert in a swimming pool with the audience in the water kind of concerts. But we have done a number, because we've been around for 12 years now, we have done a number of sit-down concerts. This is sort of a hybrid because you can get up and move around if you want to.
Can I ask you, what is Redshift Music's philosophy when it comes to creating sound in space?
I've always gone into like a venue, like the library or atriums or promenades or big open spaces, and thought, this space is quiet. This space is reverberant and beautiful and has such amazing architecture. How come we're not enjoying this? We're just walking through it. We're just going to get our library book and getting out. And I wanted to make the space come alive by putting, like, what would it sound like if there's a flute up there and a cello over there? And so we started doing this back in 2004. We started filling public spaces and other spaces, not so public, with musicians, and having the music rain down on the audience and coming from different corners. And it, right off the bat, as soon as we first did it, we thought, oh my God, that was awesome. That was wonderful. Let's do that again and again and again. And we've done just about 50 concerts. This is our 48th concert now, where we've taken a building and spatialized it and turned it into a concert hall. This is actually a concert hall, but I don't want to give it away because I've got a surprise coming at the show, but we're spatializing it in quite a unique way that I have not yet done in the last 48 concerts. Right now, when we're sitting in this courtyard, there's sound coming at us from every direction. It's not coming at us from one way. I mean, it bounces off walls and we hear it from every direction, but here, where we're sitting, you have a skateboarder over there and a dog over there and a child over there and a bird over there, and it's everything's everything comes at you from 360 degrees. You can't shut it off. You can't close, you can close your eyes and not see things, but you can't close your ears. You can stick your fingers in your ears, I suppose, but you still hear stuff. But music tends to come at you from one direction, and I wanted to experience music the way I experience the world. I used to be the associate producer for the CBC Radio Orchestra, and one of the jobs was to work as the orchestral librarian. So I'd have to prepare the parts and give them parts, and during rehearsals, they might have a problem with their part, like this part needs to be taped here, and this I don't have this part, whatever, and they'd sort of call me during rehearsal while the whole orchestra is rehearsing away and sawing, the violins are sawing away, and I'd have to run out there into the middle of the orchestra and tend to somebody and make sure that maybe their metronome's out of batteries or something like that. And I got to walk through the orchestra while it was performing. You don't get to do that, mostly. They don't like that. The live audience doesn't get to do that. We have to sit in their chairs. But I had to, for whatever reason, and I could change the mix of the music. And they're playing Beethoven, and I'm walking through the violins on my way to the flute section. I hear the violins loudly. I get the flute section. I hear the woodwinds loudly, and then I pass back through the brass, right? And I got to change the mix of the music while it's happening. And I thought, that's kind of nice. That was kind of fun. And I would make up reasons for me to accidentally go into the middle of the orchestra and come back out during the rehearsal. Don't tell them I said that. So I thought, wouldn't it be great to have concerts where the audience got to do that? So the musicians were spread out and the audience were able to move around during the piece, make their own mix, experience it themselves, you know, like the way you experience the world normally with your ears.
And of course, whereas this radio show is usually broadcast from the CITR studios, currently I'm sitting in a courtyard at a coffee shop in Deep Cove in North Vancouver, where I came to meet Jordan to do this interview. So is your music idiosyncratic to the spaces of the performance?
It started out that way. I'd write the piece based on the venue I was being premiered in, but then it never got played again because it was only for that venue that one special time. So I've started in the last 8 years, 9 years, writing pieces for generic spatial venues, and say I'd write a choir piece, it wouldn't be designed for that one church, it'd be designed for churches, and that has become sort of blossomed into the performances all over the world, but spatial performances all over the world would be like a concert in Germany where the people would be surrounding the audience, and then that same piece would be performed in Seattle or something like that. And it's been much more rewarding because I get to hear different venues and how that piece is interpreted in different venues.
I was wondering if John Cage's piece 433 had anything to do with Redshift Music's philosophy on creating music in space.
I would think so. That's a pretty substantial work. It's John Cage's philosophy based in that is the sort of the idea that sound is music and experimentation is something that one could aspire to, and it gave freedom to do certain things, or anything really. It gave composers freedom to write what they wanted to, or to experiment and write something strange and crazy, and that became, it was very important when that came out, because I think the world sort of, the world of classical contemporary music really blossomed at about that time.
Should we play one of your pieces?
Oh, sure. I have a piece, I have a recording of a piece by Ethos Collective, which I love a lot, and since they're in this concert, that might be appropriate. This piece is I wrote based on a Carl Sagan quote. This piece is titled "On a Mote of Dust Suspended in a Sunbeam," and it's the Ethos Collective performing live in the Orpheum Annex.
Let's go now to the Ethos Collective piece, and we will be back to talk some more with Jordan Nobles about his music and his compositions. Thank you. Jordan, how did you get into composition, and what influences your current work?
I wanted to be a rock guitar player. you know, like an Eddie Van Halen type. And I worked really hard at that. And then I went to school. I thought if I studied, I'd even be better. I'd be the best rock guitar player in the universe. And so I went to school and studied guitar, but also as part of my education studied composition and classical music. And that, then I started writing my great rock guitar pieces, but they came out as new music classical compositions. It was, I don't have the arena rock huge 500,000 member audience. I now have, like, it was sad. Now I've become a classical music composer as opposed to a worldwide idol guitar player. But it just, it's what I was drawn to. It just, what, creating a piece of music where the instruments work together and the lines and the harmonies interplay with each other. It just became the reason to do things rather than play rock guitar and be the star. I rather much enjoyed creating music and listening to it.
Well, it's never too late to be a rock and roll superstar.
It might be.
So maybe you've already answered this question, but do you have a favorite instrument to compose for?
It actually now depends. Now that I've been doing this for quite a while, it now depends on what the piece is. I write on guitar, I write on piano, I write with a pencil and my brain, and I write just in the computer itself on Sibelius or other programs. So it depends on what the piece is, and I've learned enough about myself to know that if I'm writing something vocal, then I should write that on piano. If I'm writing something for guitar, I should write that on guitar. If I'm writing something for like a large ensemble, then I should write that in other, like with a pencil or with Sibelius, so I can hear all the different multiplicities happening at the same time. It has become so that I'm so diverse in composing techniques that that no one technique has superseded any others.
Now, Jordan, do you deliberately create the kind of atmospheric mood in your music that people describe as entrancing, breathtakingly beautiful, and I think this was the Georgia Strait that called it awesome?
I did like that. I did like that quote. I have found more and more interest in writing music that I really, really just want to immerse myself in. Often slow, often quite harmonic, often lots of instruments coming in and coming out of the texture, and that has become more and more what I strive to do. If you asked me to write a solo bassoon piece, I probably couldn't, but I could write 20 bassoon pieces.
I've heard you speak about your music as a this was during a score reading club at the Canadian Music Center. As an experiment on stretching time, you were experimenting at that time on playing with accelerating and decelerating time. I was wondering, are there other novel techniques that you actively employ in your composition?
There are harmonic elements in my music that I am drawn to. I do like triads, but I like triads with many extensions, and I like non-functional tonality. So it's a sort of a technique of using regular chords that you would hear in like triads that you would hear in Beethoven or Mozart, but moving from one to another one with, and sometimes I refer to it as revolving through all 12 keys, which it isn't really anymore, but where I often in my music I would visit all of the 12 major tonal centers that you find in the 12 scales, and it's become an endless source of inspiration and joy, I guess.
What do you want your audience to experience when you hear them?
I want them to see, to hear some, when I do my job right, which you can be argued that I don't always do, I want them to hear something strange and beautiful that they haven't seen before. I want them to experience, I don't know if wonder, but my favorite moments in music is when, like, oh my God, I've never heard something like that before, and it's beautiful. Not, not necessarily, oh my God, I've never heard that something like that before, and it's awful. it's something I never want to hear again. But it's a new palette. It's a new color in your universe. And I don't always do that. That's something that I strive to do. But to bring something new into the world that is a positive.
Now, both yourself and Redshift Music have been extraordinarily active in promoting new music, both in Vancouver and the rest of Canada, if not the world. Now, what do you anticipate next in your extremely busy schedule?
My schedule got busier and busier this year. My next 12 months are going to be pretty scary, actually. I'm working on an opera. I'm writing some orchestral music. Redshift is traveling all the way to Newfoundland to do a concert. And we are expanding to other countries as well, or planning to expand to other countries as well and take our spatial concert experience out there into the world. Vancouver has seen 50 concerts of ours, and I want to show others out there.
Now, I think we can all agree that Jordan Nobles is an extremely accomplished musician. Redshift Music has been promoting novel approaches to music. Again, I wanted to invite you all to ChamberCon, which will be hosted by Redshift Music and Vancouver New Music, the multiple ensembles and a one marathon concert this Sunday, November 17th, at the Orpheum Annex at 3 p.m. Orpheum Annex is at 823 Seymour Street, and tickets can be purchased for $25 regular admission or $10 student admission at brownpapertickets.com. I wanted to thank Jordan for appearing on the program. Thank you so much for taking
thank
the time,
for having me.
The energy, and it's been lovely to sit out with you here in Deep Cove. We're surrounded by beautiful fall colors, maybe the last of them, actually, and we're sitting at a coffee shop where Jordan has composed many of his pieces. So I hope that you take this experience, today's broadcast, and bring it with you along with a ticket to ChamberCon. Thank you, Jordan, for joining me. And this has been 433 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. If you have any questions about the broadcast, please don't hesitate to email me at theoryofhappiness@yahoo.com or visit the website theoryofhappiness.com and click on the tab 433. Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the program.
Bronx King. Big time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby.